Hi there folks, Paul here signing in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Now today we're going to continue on our series of videos on the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to dig straight into it. We're in Matthew chapter 6, looking at verses 25 through to 34. In my Bible I've got a little heading there. It says, "Do not worry." Now if you know me, you would probably look at me and go, "Wow, Paul, you don't worry, so you know, what can you got to say about this?" But if you've known me, you will know me that over time, worry was a friend. Worry for me was a companion. I kept you know, bags of little worry in my pockets and would take them with me everywhere I go. So as I share some things with you today, I hope that I can also share a few personal notes, which I will pray then, of course, for you. We'll just let you know that you can move from carrying around your baggage and your worry with you and just giving that over to Christ. That is my hope for today's video. But if we'll have a quick look, let's jump in. Verse 25, Matthew 6. I'm going to read this through. Maybe open your Bible up. Read along with me. Jesus speaking says, Therefore, do not worry. And of course, he's continuing on from the previous everything, all to do with our heart's attitude. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Let me just pause for 1 second. We do get caught up in that sometimes, often usually when we're younger, but we get caught up in, yes, oh, got to look after myself, got to do this, got to look good. You know, the given to me was, if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you do good. This is one of the things that was given to me in my business training back in the day. It was all about the appearance and how I would look. And you had to work hard, obviously, to be able to have and do that. But we look here at verse 26. Jesus continues. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 cubit, 1 inch, or whatever it is, to his stature? Can you make yourself taller through worrying? Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field. Consider them, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed, dressed like one of all of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Listen to this. Oh, you of little faith. And this is the key issue here. Faith first. This is my two words for this video. Verse 31. Therefore, here we have again, because of all of this, therefore, do not worry, saying, oh, what are we going to eat? What shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after these things, these are the ones who chase after them. After these things, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, the heathens, they seek. But you, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. And faith speaks to us saying, we know that he knows because of the word. He knows that we need these things. Verse 33, I love this. But seek first. You have a but. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient are the troubles for today. Let's take a step back. A quick recap. This must be the, 15th, 16th video I think I've done here, Sermon on the Mount. Let's take a quick recap. When this began, if we go back quickly to verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, we see that Jesus, he sees the multitudes, he goes up to a mountain, he sits, the disciples come to him, and he begins to teach them. And this was the position and the place for the teacher in that time. The teacher would sit, and we listening, we would stand, like the complete opposite of what we do now on a Sunday. If we go to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 28 of chapter 7, it says, when Jesus ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. And so what we have here is, we can surmise that it began quiet and personal teaching. the Beatitudes, as we call them, with Jesus, but the multitudes, those others came. Now, who were those others? Well, there's the disciples, obviously, and then there would be other Jews, perhaps visitors from Judea, Samaria, maybe even some Samaritans, Jerusalem, maybe some Greeks from the Decapolis, and perhaps further afield. But if we look at the mix of who they are in this crowd, it is very likely that there are fishermen, there are farmers, there are businessmen, there are those who are poor, which was very common in that time. The marginalized, the disenfranchised. You've got to remember, these people are under Roman occupation. And it's hard for us to get our heads around exactly what that was and what that meant. Yes, the Romans occupied, they looked after you, they let you do their own thing. And if you didn't do what they say, you could be imprisoned in a moment's notice. I love it. Haven't paid your taxes? Straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go straight to jail until your debt is paid. How are you supposed to do that when you're in prison? The Romans didn't care. They take it from your family. The oppression that they lived under, I think I can probably say, would have been at times, not always, because yes, there was governance there as well, but it would have been at times like the Germans to the Jews at the beginning of what then became the Holocaust. But the Romans had a power over life and death of a Jew who was a dog, basically. And so we have here the dispossessed, these people coming, searching for hope. Maybe there were some Pharisees there as well, different class of people, maybe some zealots, but sinners, tax collectors, men, women, families, all coming to Jesus to find some measure of hope from a teacher who gave them exactly that. And so we see here in this section of teaching, which is just as relevant to us today, even though we do not live under such oppression, we see here, do not worry. God's got it. And if I give a personal, very deeply personal example of this, I'm going back nearly a couple of decades now, and I look to a time when I was in a homeless shelter. And it wasn't because I couldn't afford to live. Mentally, I did not have the capacity to live. I carried little bags, if I can use this illustration, of worry in my pockets. Right pocket, left pocket, coin pocket, back pocket, back pocket. If I had a shirt, pocket there, jacket, pocket, pocket. So many little bags of worry about my life that this worry, it crushed me. And it was during somewhere around that time that I picked up a Bible, probably for the first time in 10, 15 years, and just called out and said, my God, help. What have I done? I need your help, Lord. And that's what these people are. And maybe as you're listening to this now, maybe there is an element of that in you. My God, it feels like you've forsaken me. Father, I need your help. The Sermon on the Mount is for you because it shows you the hope that is in Christ and by what which manner we must live. Listen carefully. Not the things that we do, that comes later, but the things that we desire. And here we're looking at faith over fear, provision. As a father, as a husband, I know the fear of not being able to provide for my family. I have had times in the past, come Christmas, where I have had to go to, here in Australia, we call it the Salvation Army, probably all over the world. I'm guessing most of us in the Western countries would know, but the charity shop, and I would say, I have no food for my family, and I have no gifts for my children. Help. And at this time, not walking with the Lord, I was just alone. But then at some point, years later, I looked up and I said, God, help. That's what these people are doing now. They're listening to Jesus and they're crying out to God, help. And Jesus says, do not worry. In a nutshell, he says, faith first. Well, that's what I'm saying. Faith first. And if we look now more carefully, I want to give you the key here to all of this. The key to opening and unlocking everything in the Sermon on the Mount. It is here, found in Matthew 6, verse 33. I saw a little Instagram video one time, and I agree with it 1,000%. And an older couple were asked, if you could give some advice, just one piece of advice to a younger couple, just newly married, what would that piece of advice be? Interesting, the same advice I would give them and still give to others today. And it is this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things shall be added. Now, the problem is, of course, we don't know what is the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. What does that mean? In a nutshell, we must seek to desire that the rule and reign of God in our hearts is number one. This is the seeking part. And if we read, as we have written here, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if you then, this is you I'm talking to you right now, if you were raised with Christ, talking about through the baptism of water, that new birth illustration, if you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Here's the key again: set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. This is all about, do not worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. They are things of the earth. Set your mind on things above. One of the illustrations that I use a lot in my teaching and my personal encounters with just men in the faith that we have here through our local church is the story of Nicodemus and Jesus up there on the mountain, on the rooftop, John chapter 3. And in verse 12, Jesus speaks this same concept again. He says to Nicodemus, if I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how then will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And this is a theme that we see time and time and time again in Scripture, the difference between earthly things and heavenly things. And if you can just start to look, this is my challenge to you, for those of you who have been in the faith for some time, start to look at the differences through the lens of earthly things versus heavenly things. You will see, even in our modern church, how much of the earthly things we rely on to accomplish heavenly things, which, of course, doesn't lead to solid salvation at all. It leads to emotional dependency. More on that perhaps another time. But look through the eyes of seeing earthly things versus heavenly things. What are you chasing after? That is the question. When you make a decision in life, how is that decision determined? Are you looking at the earthly things, or are you looking towards God for at the heavenly things? How does this actually look? And probably one of the best examples I can think of was about a year ago in my business, through various things, from moving home, through catching up on an old tax debt which a past accountant had missed and not told me about, through a whole lot of different difficult financial circumstances, I found myself faced with a decision in my business where I had to put off one of my staff who had been with me for nearly 10 years. And a beautiful, godly woman. This is not something I wanted to do. She hadn't done anything wrong. It's just that I was able to do her job in amongst mine. That was the only reason, the only decision between it. So praying about it with my wife, number one, looking to Christ, I said, Father, faith first. I need your help with this. I will not put her off and leave her struggling. So I found her another job and discussed this with her and bang. She actually started the day after I left. She left with me. And then yet I still had to make some decisions in business to catch up and change things. And doing so in faith, believing that the decisions I had made, that God would bless them. And I praise God indeed for his grace and his mercy and his blessing in that. But as a man, I worry these are earthly things, our provision and our finances. So I, rather than go into worry, which was so different to me sort of 15, 20 years ago, this time it was just faith first. And so that is seeking first the kingdom of God. But there's another aspect to it that I want you to look at. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness, which is just simply living according to his way. It is, in a sense, setting ourselves apart to be holy. We are told in Scripture of God, he said, God says, be holy as I am holy. So understanding that this is not a salvation issue, the things by which we do, but they are truly motivated by our heart's desire. Understand that. We want to look to live according to God's standards and God's ways and that kind of moral code rather than things of the earth. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, earthly things. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit, heavenly things. It is truly a fine line difference, but it begins with the desire, like everything in the Sermon on the Mount, with our heart's attitude. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know, and we do, that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So there is an expectation from God that once we are born again into this new life, a new creation, that we move towards living in a righteous, in a holy manner. This is and his righteousness. We're seeking and setting our heart's desire and our minds on things of God, not things of the world. And of course, it says that all things then that we would need, or those things that we often worry about, are added to us. Taken care of is the best way to explain it. So we need to find ways to weed out, if I can say, the old man. That's it. There is, and it's a true saying, you know, come to Christ as you are. Too many people think that we can, you know, have to get right with God and then we can come. No, come to Christ as you are. But do not expect that he will leave you as you are. He has a better plan, I promise you. He does. And this comes, is unlocked. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added to you, the things that we might worry about. So it's a matter of, it needs be, to flip our priorities and to change them from earthly things to heavenly things. So I want to challenge to you to spend some time in quiet reflection and pause and maybe do what so many of these men and women listening to this back then, 2,000 years or so ago, nearly, they would have gone home and gone, wow. Now, one would have been focused on this, another on this, but for us now, for the purposes of this video, we're going to focus on do not worry. I want you to spend some time in prayer and meditation and reflection on these scriptures and say, Father, what do I worry about that I shouldn't be? I mean, truly, we shouldn't be worrying about anything, because worry is based on the fear outcome. What might happen fearfully brings worry. Faith first. Faith should dispel the fear. We do not have a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Sound mind does not worry. So if you are still, as I was for so long, a student of worry, we need to sit down. We need to consider, what things, Father, do I worry about? Show me how to faith in that time, in that place, in that situation. And if we look at our priorities, heavenly things first, always, as I say, faith first. So that wraps it up. It comes down to looking at everything that is genuinely is required, certainly, in our walk on this, you know, on the earth in this time. But our faith needs to be first, so that when things come up and things happen, we can look up and go, okay, God, you've got this. I am yours. I am now a child, true, child of God, son of the living God. If you really want to study on this one a little bit further, dig into the Psalms, perhaps, and look at the worry, look at the stress, look at the times where David said, this is how I feel, and don't be afraid of that. It's okay to feel it. Father, this is how I feel, but I remember your grace and your mercy and your strength and your faithfulness and your love. Because that's the key. If we know who our God is, faith comes easier. It just does. It's why we are told here in Scripture that faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. If we read this, if we get to know this, it builds our faith because we learn more of who our God is. All right, folks, thank you so much for your time. We're going to continue on chapter 7, almost there, wrapping through the Sermon on the Mount. God bless. I pray for a beautiful week ahead where you will not be challenged by fear, but you will instead move forward in faithfulness. Amen.